Let's ride.
Here we go. Welcome back to episode 6 of Pathways. This week, we're going to be discussing the success of the New England Free Jacks Summer Series, the four-week coaching and playing series that we've just finished up. We're very lucky to have two of our academy coaches and fantastic regional coaches, and T. Fletcher and Olivia Benson-Daniel on with us today, as well as head of CCC, communications, consumer products, and community, Oliver Engelhart, who's going to be mapping out infrastructure, the evolving infrastructure moving forward. So very excited to have everyone on, and we're going to start in a little funky manner today, where we're going to go straight into quick fire. So the first thing we're going to do is I'm going to say a word, and each of you will go Olivia, then Fletcher, and then Ollie will give me the first word that pops into your head. Obviously, nothing too graphic, ideally, but I will see how it goes. So our first word we're going to have is Free Jacks. Olivia.
Tag.
MLR.
Riders.
Well done. Next one, double word it, Madison Hughes.
Oh, Eagle.
Captain.
Leader.
All right, next one, curly one, hooker.
Scrum.
Short.
Pack it down.
Brilliant. Well done. What a start. Very well done. Short. That's fantastic.
Fletch. I'm going to get nailed.
No, what a great way to start, guys. So to get stuck in, I'll let you guys introduce yourselves. And obviously, we've got a couple of phenomenal coaches here who have done a great job in spearheading and making this four-week program happen. So Olivia and Fletcher, would love to hear a little bit about your stories, how you got into the game, how you fell in love with coaching, where it's taken you, what you currently do, what your current roles are. Either or, take it away.
Okay, I started playing in college. Freshman year, I think it was the second semester, and I just saw like a random flyer in the bathroom, and I went to first practice and I never looked back. It was just, I had so much fun. I couldn't wait to play, and like there was a lot of organized chaos in my first game. I didn't know what was happening. I was locking at the time, so I just followed the other lock around, and it was amazing. And then I started coaching right after I graduated, actually, because the team that I was playing for, Holy Cross in Worcester, we had our coaches leaving and they needed someone else. So I stepped in. So I kind of just fell into coaching and have been doing it ever since. So it's been about 5-6 years now, and it's been great. I'm coaching Brandeis University now, and great group of girls. They're amazing. Having a great time.
Nice.
I just got a job coaching high school, but we didn't get to get started because of COVID, but that's also my alma mater. So I'll be coaching where I used to go to school. And I'm also the vice commissioner for Rugby Northeast, which is a D2 women's conference. I'm the Northeast D1 commissioner, which is a women's D1 conference. And I just became a secretary for ACRA, which is like a college organization that's working with USA Rugby, which is pretty cool.
And you still play?
Olivia, and I still play. What? Yeah, oh my God. I'm sorry. Yeah, I play for Beantown. I just got elected captain there too.
And we had a bit of confusion. I remember I called Tony after day one and I said, how'd it go? And he said, yeah, it was great. We had a great coach there called Olivia. I think she's a centre from Beantown. And then I think Tyke said, she's not a centre, she's a front rower. So I think that's probably a good thing, Olivia, in fairness.
Yeah, I mean, I did play outside centre for about 2 seconds in college. And then my coach was like, forget it, you're going back with the forwards. So, and then I also got to play wing for like a whole season with Beantown, which was really cool. Definitely threw my skill set a bit out there, but I went back to the forwards eventually.
There you go, very versatile and a fantastic coaching pedigree. You also went across to the Premiership. Help me with the terminology of that there.
Oh yes, it was they're calling it the Premiership Scholarship. So what we did was there were about 26 coaches, and we were there for a whole week, and we got to watch three Premiership teams train. So we just have to see the Saints, the Wasps, and how am I blanking on the last one? The Tigers, Leicester Tigers. So we got to watch two of their matches. We got to have Q&As with all their coaches. We got to run a session for like a local team. And we got to also take our level 300 while we were there. And it was amazing. Like, I learned so much, and I wish I could go back. But it was just so fun, and getting to talk with the other coaches from all across the country, as well as, like, learn from people in England, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, no, what a great experience. And then Fletcher, if you could tell us about your story.
Yeah, so I always grew up, you know, with a background in soccer. And so I went to Appalachian State University in North Carolina. And I kind of got burnt out coming into my junior year. I was living with two other teammates and a club soccer teammate. And I lost a bet to her. So I came out to a rugby practice and absolutely just got destroyed. And that's honestly what brought me back is, you know, it's really hard just to find a group of girls to go play a game of pickup basketball or something. So that really got me hooked. I, you know, have never really experienced the camaraderie before, you know, like the college rugby program. So, I found some, you know, some really good friends out of that. So a really just good experience, got hooked pretty quickly. Kept climbing my way up. There was a really high competitive team, Division I team, and which is about 3 hours away. So I was kind of commuting back and forth to really just get reps on their B side. And, you know, those players and coaching staff helped me to, you know, find a full-time job after college. And that's where I ended up going. I did some, you know, had some experience with camps, you know, with USA. And I just decided that roots with soccer and, you know, continue, you know, my journey in rugby. And, yeah, I was with Raleigh for a long time and, you know, developed a sevens competitive team and, you know, we went pretty far and that got us a look, you know, with Jules McCoy and went to her camp. And it just really showed me that, you know, there, you know, dreams there that a lot of our teammates could fulfill. And that for me was, you know, a great experience and something to never look back on. And I've kind of dabbled in a lot of jobs and, you know, continue to play rugby and fortunate, you know, for those jobs, they're really flexible, you know, with the traveling and things like that. So I kind of got a heads up about the position at AIC. And I knew I wanted to get back into, you know, coaching, whether that be soccer or rugby. And I, you know, applied for it and flew out and took on the men's position, which has been, you know, a really amazing experience. Worked out with the young men there, and recently took over the women's program. And it, you know, just really trying to build a legacy there, you know, with these players and now with the MLR, I mean, it's just such a sweet spot to be in, to kind of, you know, partake in somewhat of that pathway, you know, whether they come to the Free Jacks or, you know, any of the other teams or come play, you know, WPL with OBD and I, or, you know, any other team around, just to provide that opportunity is amazing. I still play, with OBD, still trying to find my position with our team, you know, being somewhat new, but, you know, I was in the forwards, locking, flanking and an occasional eight man, you know, if somebody went down towards the end of the season. And I coach for the USA South under 20 women team. Recently I was supposed to, assistant coach with, Dowdy and the Collegiate All-Americans, but obviously with everything happening, I haven't really been able to get on that yet. And, I've done a little bit with Phoenix and going out to ARPTC and coaching at the summit out there. So, just really excited to just really be a part of this.
Oh, no, it's phenomenal to have you both on and to have two coaches of the women's game, and not only the women's game, but also the men's game on your side, Fletcher, and to be sort of role models for those girls and show them, look, there is a pathway through the high school realm to, like you talked about, to WPL. You can play with us at Bingtown. How cool is that they can play with their coaches once they get through college, and now we've got 20 varsity women's programs, women's rugby programs across the nation, which is just, for me, phenomenal. So exciting. It's a great time for us to continue to build on what the good stuff that's already happening in the rugby world. And like you touched on, we've also got MLR. We had the first ever MLR draft, of which you had two players actually get selected within the draft, Fletcher. Do you want to sort of tell us about that experience and how that felt for you?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's all them. I consider myself to be really fortunate to have had Tommy Clark and Luis Satama for, you know, their last year in, you know, this spring getting cut short. But just for the short stint that I had them to just see their progression and their maturity in the classroom, on the field. So to have our only two seniors graduate and get selected, but also in the top 10 is, I mean, it's just a true testament to their grind. And I'm just really excited because I think that, you know, sets the bar obviously for our program, and it gets our small institution on the map. But it shows their teammates and these incoming freshmen that, you know, if you work hard for it, it's attainable.
Yeah, I'm sure they won't be the last, but hopefully we can get a few more coming or staying in New England instead of jetting off to the likes of Texas and Texas. They're both in Texas actually, aren't they? Dallas and Austin.
Correct.
So that leaves us with the man of many trades, Oliver Engelhart, head of CCC, whatever that means, Ollie. Exactly, mate. Can you give us a bit of a rundown on everything it is, and it is everything that you do for the Free Jacks at the moment? And I'm sure Fletcher and Olivia can testament to this, having seen it firsthand.
Well, morning, guys. Good to see everybody virtually instead of in person. It's been a privilege coaching with you guys. And Tommy, get your butt back over to New England soon. Come on.
You got it under control, mate, I reckon.
Yeah, it's good. You know, my role is taking many forms, and it continues to change and grow with the Free Jacks organization. Fortunate enough to be a player first and foremost, have that opportunity to push my level of rugby with the guys that we have coming in, and really excited to continue to grow as a scrum half and hopefully a little bit of a versatile player on the Free Jacks squad this year. In terms of what I do off the field, it's anything and everything that we really need to help grow the game of rugby and help grow and start an MLR franchise. Cause I think it's been a really unique experience learning that the outside, it might seem like this really robust and really great organization, which it is, but it's also a startup. And there's a very few of us that are here day to day where we're trying to combine all these really exciting and all this great energy. And how do we decide where that energy goes, and how do we push that forward every little bit? So it's been this super exciting and really a great learning experience for myself, working on the marketing side, the communications, now the academy, selling some merchandise, and all the while trying to grow the game and grow the number of people that are excited and following MLR.
Well said, Ollie. One thing you sort of touched on there is how can we continue to do things better? And I think one thing we identified that we wanted to do better was provide more opportunities or equal opportunities for the women's game as well.
Yeah.
And we're so lucky to have Olivia and Fletcher in with us to actively be doing that. And they're there and at the coalface and doing things we aren't doing. And to have their expertise with us is just, you know, next level.
Oh, spot on. I think actually we kept saying this these past 4 weeks, the young women, the girls that came out to the session, to the academy sessions, were some of the best players on the field every single day. And not only that, what was exciting to me is I think those players, the girls that came out, were also, they were really great loud voices, which is something we were trying to encourage. And they were loud voices helping other people. So, you know, we had all the young girls trying to help better the people around them, which is another point that our guest coaches like Madison Hughes and Alicia Washington, we're trying to emphasize that not only are we trying to do the best that we can do every time we show up to the field, but every time we show up, we're trying to make the people around us better, because that's what's going to grow the game.
Nice. Nicely done, Ollie. So the next thing we'll do is we'll get back into our quick fire and we'll go the same order. But this time we're going to be answering the one key thing you learned or took from the 4 week series. It might be that you met a student who had a really interesting story. It might be that you learned something of Madison Hughes or Alicia Washington. But OBD, let's start with you. The one key thing you learned from the 4 week series.
The one key thing I learned is be ready to adapt to whatever's happening and have fun with it. Like, given the situation, you just gotta roll with things and just see what happens and make it work.
Yeah, I love that. Sometimes you can have the best session plan in the world and then you've got three people go down with injury and you've got to adapt on the go, as I'm sure you guys are very familiar with. Fletcher, what was your takeaway?
That no matter where anybody has played before or who they've, you know, been coached under, or even, you know, perspective from the coaching staff, that at the end of the day, it's all the same game with the same rules. And to be able to have different coaches' perspectives was like an amazing opportunity for both the players and myself.
I'm sure for the players, instead of just having two of our coaches who are regurgitating the same stuff, that through the series, they had sort of nearly 10 coaches imparting their own ideas and little variations of things, and everyone's learning off everything. So it's a cool melting pot of sort of knowledge and rugby IQ. So great point. And then Ollie?
I think it's just like the good energy. I think we came in and there was clearly a lot of demand for something that happens this summer, just because most students lost their fall season. Lost their spring season and might not have a fall season. But it was all positivity and it was all this positive energy. So even with the restrictions that we had, everybody came with a huge smile on their face, ready to work, ready to learn, ready to grow. And I think that just the positivity is there in the New England rugby community, and just like leaning on that going forward is going to be a huge plus to helping us grow the game.
Yeah, no, fantastic. So potentially if we could get you guys to collaborate and tell us, there'll be people listening in and thinking, what was the 4-week series? And credit to you, Ollie, for making it happen in a safe manner. Obviously there are a lot of regulations that we had to abide by to make sure that A, it could go ahead, and B, that it was safe and for the kids to be able to come along, kids and young adults, I should say. But tell us about the 4 weeks. How did it progress? Obviously we had the first ever New England Free Jacks tracking day. What an awesome initiative that was. Tell us about how that went. I'm sure it wasn't all smooth sailing the very first time running it. But yeah, collaborate and tell me a bit about the 4 weeks to someone who wasn't there.
Oh, well, like these guys, you guys were down running it with us every day. So we kicked it off with the clinics, right?
Yes. So we started out with having like youth in the morning and then the older children, the older players in the afternoon. And that was really exciting because the younger group, they're like 6 to 9 years old. So they're just learning, maybe touching a rugby ball for the first time. And that was just watching them learn and figure it out was incredible. And then like the second week, we changed things up a bit, right?
Yeah. So that first week was those 6 to 9 year olds. And then the 2-hour clinic sessions, which I thought were huge takeaways. I think that we had kids that would just do one session. If you just did one, you had so much value that, you know, the learning points are very clear each day. And then we had some kids that signed up for all 6 of our clinic sessions. And with those kids, we were able to put in some systems and some structures that benefited them for when we signed up for that Junior Jacks tracking day. That week 3, I think we did those 2 days.
Yeah.
I think it was 2 4-hour days or 2 3.5-hour days.
Yeah. 2 4-hour days.
And that was basically a, get everybody in the same place, get our groups in the same place by age group, and have a not an assessment, but a progress and a development plan for each participant to say, all right, what do you want to achieve with your rugby? Where do you want to go? And how can you best get there? And these are the skills that you need to work on to get there. So I think coaches, you can emphasize this as well. I think it was a huge focus on the fundamental skills before we got into anything. The day 2, we then transitioned a little bit into the tactical and the strategic. And how the participants were able to, you know, lean on their past experience to combine into what the Junior Jacks systems might be. And then we had a great kind of overview of what the Junior Jacks will be, which I'm sure we'll touch on later in this. And then obviously this last week we had that four day series with mornings and afternoons, which was a lot of fun.
And Fletcher, what were your thoughts on the tracking day? I'm sure that at AIC, do you guys have a strength and conditioning program? Do you have a strength and conditioning coach? Was that foreign to your students? What were your thoughts on it?
So we do have strength and conditioning, and that's led by a separate group. So, you know, the coaching staff, we may just pop in there and, you know, just see how, you know, kids are progressing and whatnot. But we're fortunate enough that the gentleman who runs that program is a former rugby player. So we're really just kind of double dipping there. I think, yeah, so it wasn't at all, but I think the bigger picture, which is more important here, is that, and I think even, you know, Ollie touched on this, regardless of what your vertical or, you know, your test was, or your broad jump, that's just kind of a measure. But it's not a true testament to your true rugby skills, but, you know, maybe just kind of gives you some parameters of, you know, where you're truly at, right? Because numbers don't lie. And so for our players, it wasn't new, but I think, you know, for the majority of the, you know, players there, it was. And some of them really just kind of exceeded, you know, others in their group. And that really just gave them the confidence. And that was something that was really exciting to see, is, you know, as the progressions went on through the 3 weeks, that lights would go on from the young kids to the older, and, you know, it made it all worth it.
Yeah. Nice.
And they definitely, I said as the weeks progressed, like, they weren't afraid to ask questions and, like, come to us and take us to the side and say, like, I'm trying to do this thing. What can I do to better myself? It's just like having the players come to you makes it so much better.
Yeah, I think within every team, and I'm sorry to throw AJ McGinty under the bus here, but AJ McGinty certainly doesn't have the best vertical jump in the Eagles roster, but he is one of the better rugby players. So like you touched on, Fletcher, it is just a measurement, but it is cool for those athletes to get both some skill evaluation and then a physical evaluation, and then they've got, you know, starting points that they can continue to work on. But it certainly is not the be-all and end-all. Sort of one misconception, Fletcher and OBD, is that stuff like this regional sort of development can sort of take away from what students are doing at the university and high school level. Sort of my thought would be that it actually complements that and adds to it and adds another opportunity to learn and develop alongside the college and high school. And I think endeavours like this are by no means meant to take away. They're meant to assist and provide further competition and competitive opportunities for those athletes to A, be seen and B, develop. What are your thoughts on sort of that picture and that scope there?
I think it's great. You know, every day that, you know, I was a part of this clinic, I can't remember how many times, it was countless, that I would say to the coaches, gosh, what I would have done, you know, to have these opportunities. Whether I was 12 or, you know, 17. And it, again, you know, every coach has a different, you know, system or a different coaching style. But the exposure is just, I mean, it's worth it. And, you know, for my program, I'm not the type of coach or running a program where, you know, I tell my players they can't go play sevens or they can't go to clinics or camps. Go get it and bring it back. It's only going to help grow the game. And, yeah, so I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you can train and train and train, but you just get that experience and that rugby IQ by playing and doing as much of it and as often as possible. I feel like just having more opportunities and more places to go to learn is fantastic for players and the game in general.
I think building on that, like, it's not only in the US at least, right, we don't have enough rugby, right? The more experience that we can get, the better players we're all going to be. And then it's just going to raise the level. If you've had experience at three different camps and clinics and you go back to your collegiate team, you're bringing that experience with you to better the people around you. And I think even what the US does have an advantage of is our crossover athletes. But one thing we talked about yesterday with the kids is you guys should be playing all different sports. And, you know, there's kids that are playing Gaelic football or basketball or football or American football or soccer. These are all these skills and all these talents lend themselves back into the game. So wherever you do, whatever sport you do end up choosing to play long-term, take all your experiences and apply that into that trade, because it's only going to make you and your teammates better. I think Maddie had a really interesting point 2 days ago. He's like, we had lots of players that played American football and basketball. And one thing they were really good at was catching the ball above their heads. So that's why we lent on their experiences and we became the best team of kicking off in the game of sevens and on the HSB World Series, who just got these athletes catching balls above their heads. That made the team better. That made everybody else around them better. And you can see the USA team's been doing a heck of a good job of these last few years.
That's a great point, Ollie, because I guess you've got, if we look at the coaches that we've got sort of regionally, you've got Christy Kirshy, ex-soccer, you've got Alicia Washington, ex-soccer goalkeeper as well. And Fletcher, you were ex-soccer, is that correct? Yeah?
That's correct, yep.
And Olivia, tell me about your sporting background.
I played soccer very briefly, but I mostly played volleyball, basketball, lacrosse. I swam, I did a little bit of karate. I was just kind of, whatever I could do to stay active and play a game, I was doing it.
Nice. So we've certainly got that athleticism, and you see that also on the men's side with the likes of Ben Landry and Paul Asike, both who have been involved with NFL in the past. It's about sort of providing more opportunity to learn the 15s format of the game and upskill there so that we continue to get better as a whole. No, great stuff and great points. So, Ollie, what is coming up now for the New England Free Jacks Academy? What's it going to look like moving into the fall? How is that infrastructure sort of evolving? What are you looking at?
Absolutely, yeah. So I think we did a really good job of showcasing that we can run safe and small group clinics. I think the coaches can help elaborate on what we did every single day to make sure that the kids that showed up were safe. All the coaches had masks on. All the participants had to, every time you touched your water bottle or you left the field, you had to hand sanitize, temperature checks and daily wellness checks every single day. So the first and foremost, we wanted to make sure we were following everything by the letter, and the small groups of nine or less was really important for that as well. With that, I think we showed that a lot of these things are replicable, and as the Free Jacks, we're not just a Boston-based team. We represent all of New England, and we have all of New England to help grow the game. So for me, it's looking into these other areas out west in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Maine, Vermont, and connect with the local clubs and the local rugby communities there, and let's build on that. So the four tiers that I think we have a huge opportunity to push at are, it's kind of a, you might have seen on our social media, it's learn, grow, play, and compete. So learn is how many people can we get to know what rugby is, identify a rugby ball, pick up a rugby ball, and just get hands on the field. Like, that's number one. It's like, increase the number of participants at the very basic level. Learn the game of rugby. Come out, have a really good time with friends and the values of the sport and great coaches, and just have some fun. Learn. Grow. I think that's what we did these past few weeks. We were growing the game. That's clinics, that's camps, that's upskilling. That's making kids really learn about a little bit deeper in their knowledge and push themselves, whether that's physically, tactically, strategically, push those fundamentals and join us at, you know, camps and clinics throughout the year. Play is where we identify that Junior Jacks Academy. And that is, if you want to, and this is for any participant in New England that wants to push their level of rugby, we are here to provide that play and that drive to get to the next level, wherever it might be. So if you're in U14 and you want to play at the best high school, or you want to push your high school level, let's get you involved in some learning and some playing and push that level through, you know, the weekend training sessions, the after-school training sessions that we might set up. Let's get more participants into this level with Junior Jacks tracking days across the region, create a foundation of 150, 200 participants at each age group, and then have opportunities for those age groups to compete within, to play within one another. The last part of that, the point of the triangle would be compete. And that is, you know, have that opportunity for the kids to compete against interregionally, us playing against the New York squad or Toronto, have those competition opportunities, because that's where we're really, that's what we love, right? We love to play the game. We love to compete and score some tries, and in the competitive environment, that's what's really going to drive that level upwards. This triangle, this pyramid, it doesn't sit isolated. It's part of the existing community that exists in New England. And we're so fortunate that we have a robust base of rugby players and community clubs, high school levels, and junior programs that exist and have been here far longer than the Free Jacks have. What we're hoping to do is lean on that community and invite coaches to be part of what we're trying to do, so that when those players go back to their clubs and clinics, we're not trying to steal anybody's. When they go back, they're upskilling everybody with them. The coaches have been working within our system, knowing why we're doing X, Y, and Z drills, why we're doing these fundamentals, and then going back and coaching that level as well.
I think it's a, I think that's, if when we identify the four tiers, that's where we're at. And what's to come is lots of good programs heading into the fall season.
Nice. I'd say you've spent a fair bit of time thinking about that, Ollie. Well articulated. What are your thoughts on that, Fletcher and Olivia? Does that check out to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, no, I couldn't agree more. We've talked about it, and just this 3 weeks, you know, there's a lot of work and planning that goes into it, but 3 weeks on a bigger scale, a longer term, it's so valuable.
No. I couldn't really say much more about it. They've touched everything about it. It's great.
Cool. Yeah, no, I like it's amazing. I thank you guys so much for being out, for making this initial event happen and being part of this sort of pioneering group that's forming a really cool group within New England and teaching and growing rugby, like Ollie said. And we do have some players coming in. We've got Tira Matembu, who we're really excited about, coming from South Africa, who's really excited to do his part to impart his wisdom at our academy level. And then obviously Ryan Martin, head coach, coming in as well. And when we bring people like that in, it's really important that they are invested in developing coaches. And that's why we're bringing them in, to develop coaches who are going to, like Ollie said, go back to where they coach and impart the things they've learned. And that's how, in our opinion, it's going to continue to get better and continue to grow. Awesome. So moving on, we're going to get into our quick fire section. So to wrap up, we've got a few quick questions to finalize. The first one is our mission statement. So our owner, one of our owners, Eric Anderson's massive on the Free Jacks existing in order to hopefully make the world a better place and to provide an opportunity for people to come together and have fun and just be around each other. So one thing you're doing at the moment that's making the world a better place, OBD?
I would say exploring my virtual options to like connect with people, whether it's just rugby or just general check-ins. Like, I think being isolated and being with all the pandemic restrictions and stuff, it's hard to remember to connect with people outside of your bubble. You know, just reaching out and supporting each other.
Check-ins, I like it.
Giving back, to the community. So still kind of being a newbie here, but, you know, having this fantastic opportunity to work with the Free Jacks. But also, you know, going back to my new roots of AIC, and again, yeah, spent a ton of Zoom hours, just reaching out and giving these student athletes the opportunity to know, to believe in themselves and be the first generation to come to college and pursue their passion.
Nice. And Oliver?
I think most recently it's been, and maybe cliche, but growing the game of rugby for the really little kids with the academy systems. I think my favorite things that we did these past few weeks was coaching the 6 to 9-year-olds those first 2 weeks, and chatting to the parents, kids who've never played the game before, kids, you know, who might have grown up overseas and have played the game before, or just the positivity, the energy, and the parents texting us photos of like, you've worn my kid out, and thank you so much for just running them to sleep for the rest of the day, or screaming sushi, sushi, sushi with Kensuke, who's coming down each morning to help coach, and just make brightening people's day with the little things, I think was something that really helped me, like coming out of our socially distanced back onto the field, was smiling each day was a huge part of it. Even though that's, we had the mask on, working on those smiles, right? Yeah.
Smile with your eyes. Yeah.
All about the smiles. Yeah. No, that's the little things.
I know. We can't wait till we get to a point, Ollie, where we can have 15 kids running out, holding hands with our Free Jacks when they play our first home game, when that finally eventuates. In 2021,
running out behind Lex the horse with the firework cannons in the background and the flags waving.
That's going to be the ultimate community event. We certainly cannot wait for that to finally eventuate. Just before we move on, you guys have obviously got Tiger Leaders, obviously just been announced as returning. You guys have both been coached by him. What are your thoughts on that? You're happy to see him staying, or you're sick of his voice? What's your take on that?
I think we're blessed 100%. I shot him a message yesterday after the clinic just saying, congrats. To have him is, again, it's just growing the game in this area. And he's a leader. He's somebody, that has crazy experience. And he just adds an amazing dynamic, to our program here.
Yeah. I got elected captain this season, and I just can't wait to be on the leadership group with him and make things work this season. Really excited.
Now let's get his butt down to the clinics once his quarantine is done. He's got two weeks left, so he'll be ready to go as soon as we can.
Yeah,
nice words. We're pumped to have him back in the mixer. Leading into the next one, our next question: favorite free jack and why? OBD.
I don't want to get in trouble and not say tagged, but Connor is also one of our coaches. So I'm going to say it's going to be a two-way tag between Tag Leader and Connor Kindergan.
Well, you are a Ford OBD, so that makes sense.
I can't not mention Connor. They're just both so great. And just the way they work together and crack jokes and make it a fun environment, they're definitely my favorites. Honorary mention for you and Ollie, obviously.
that's awesome. It's nice to have Ollie and Connor and Tig mixing with the amazing staff you've got there. So shout out to Mel Denham, who's also doing amazing stuff with not only Beantown but Harvard as well. I know she's heavily invested in Beantown. Fletch, take it away.
Yeah, obviously, Tig and Connor both. I kind of came in at the end, so I didn't get a ton of time with Connor, but he also, I think, kind of put a buzz in Tag's ear, before he had to go back. So that kind of created an opportunity for me to at least get a look. But I love Coach Kenny. And I think his daughters have both stolen my heart. So yeah, he's funny. I enjoyed his sense of humor.
Ollie will definitely agree with you on that one. Kenny, for a man who's played 78 tests for Japan and over 150 games for his top league Japanese side, to be coming out and getting stuck in from the goodness of his heart with our 6 to 9 year olds, it's just amazing to have his wisdom out there and his developing English also coming on, which is awesome too. So we're pumped to have Kenny sticking around with us.
Just to add on Kenny, I think Kenny is such a special addition, not to everything that he does, but just because he looks at it and he says, what can I do to help that? What can I do to help grow that? Or what can I lend to build on the great stuff? And he brings that positive energy. I don't think he's ever said that. What can I personally gain? It's all about what can I add to the, what can I add to this situation? And he's super ruthless with his daughter. His daughter was one of the best players in this group. And yes, every day he was like, not good enough. Yeah. Not good enough. So it was like, it's true. Coach K, Ruri was she was so good. She's obviously been training since she was 2 years old. But hands were up, finishing every single pass. And he'd just go, no, not good enough. Not good enough.
That's true.
A good point you touched on, Ollie, is that our players, when we bring them in, we expect them, they need to be more than just a player. With our stage and our lifespan, we need them to also be heavily invested in the community, mixing in with our members, our founding members, our fans. They need to be so much more than just a player. So Kenny is the perfect example of that. Ollie, leading into your favourite free jack, is it Kenny as well? Or who?
I kind of want to go a little bit more more arbitrary. Yeah, it's the whole thing of what the free jacks is connecting with the community. So right now my favorite free jacks are the newest members of the the junior jacks programs, the folks that are coming out. We said this to each one at the end of every session we did it. The first, you guys did the first step. The first step is just showing up. That's showing up to to your high school team, that's showing up to your community clubs, that's showing up to the camps and clinics to better yourselves. And the next step is obviously pushing yourselves and those around you. But then those are the folks I'm most proud of at the moment, because taking that first step and just coming out with a smile on their face and the Junior Jacks and the academy program leaders. So they're my favorite people, including OBD and Coach Fletcher here. You guys are my favorite Free Jacks.
Good call, Ollie. Yeah, I'd like to also give a shout out to Daryl, Stacey, yes. Kyle Sakura, Diego, Jared, everyone who turned up to help us out and to get this great initiative humming. So thank you to you guys. And like Absolutely. You said, you're part of the, like Ollie said, part of the Free Jacks family now. So whether you like it or not, we're pumped to have you on board. And then the final question is stadium song for the Free Jacks for next season. Once we finally get out there on the field, we need a stadium song to add to our Spotify playlist from each of you. OBD, I'm sure you've got a pregame banger.
I've got a whole list. I'll go with Blow the Whistle by Too Short.
I'll have to do my research on that one, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
Okay, mine's going to get rejected, but I'm a big Whitney Houston fan, so I'll just say that and leave it there.
No, we need it. Oh, you're talking a whole album or what are you?
You know, I just don't see you guys running out to any Whitney Houston songs. So.
Never say never, Fletch. We'll certainly be adding a Whitney Houston song.
Yeah, come back. Oh my goodness, I've got too many that I'd like to add to this. I think we had someone said Thunderstruck, didn't they? I've got the playlist here, actually.
They did, yeah.
So if someone said Thunderstruck, I think I'd go Pump It by the Black Eyed Peas. That's one for sure. Pump It Loud.
Good choice.
Pump It Loud. Something like that. Or I think somebody else said Sweet Caroline, which is a big one from the Hong Kong Sevens that I grew up listening to.
Yeah, the seven songs are always a great addition. So, OBD's back with us.
Hey, sorry about that. My computer died.
No worries. So we must have about 10 songs in there now, Ollie, do we?
Yeah, I've got about 10 in there. We'll keep adding to it.
Good stuff. It's a very diverse playlist, so I'm looking forward to hearing that. Cool. All right. Well, Fletcher, Ollie, OBD, I can't thank you guys enough for the fantastic job you guys have done for us the past 4 weeks. And very excited to see what you do with your own programs moving forward. Very excited to see Beantown dominate the WPL once you guys get up and running. I just can't say thank you enough.
Quickly, should we get a breakdown in?
Yeah.
Junior Jacks, mount up. Coach O, will you lead us off?
I got it. Free Jacks, mount up.
Let's ride.
Let's ride. Woo!
Nice job. All right, team. We'll see you very shortly.
Thank you guys so much for the opportunity.
Thanks, guys.
It's the top. It's still going. Flick it field. It's champagne rugby from the Free Jacks.
Let's ride.